I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Okay, it brings us to the next item on the agenda, which is approval of minutes. And first we need approval of the minutes from the August 4th, 2014 regular meeting. I'd entertain a motion for that.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, is there any changes to those minutes, or are we good?
Mr. Mayor, there's one change, and I think it says that Mayor Alagadakis conducted the meeting, and it's Vice Mayor.
Oh, okay. You could take the spot if you want it that bad. Okay, so that change will be noted by the clerk. Thank you. And I'm seeing no other changes. We'll assume those are all. Just all those in favor of approving the changes to the minutes of August 4th, 2014, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Minutes are approved. Now we're looking for amendment and approval of this evening's meeting agenda, and I think there's going to be a few amendments. So,
Mr. Mayor, I would like to propose an amendment to add comments to the letter of support for the Rainforest Ferry.
Okay, then we could probably visit that under old business. Does that sound right, Kathy? Or
that's fine with me, or wherever you want to.
Okay, so we'll address those comments.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
I'd like to add another discussion item on Papke's Landing and on the Seaduck subdivision proposed sale here that I'd like to discuss later on.
Okay, by mental health,
yes,
like the
correct letter
we got from Mr. Miller. Okay, we'll put that under new business then. Add that. And remind me if I get too hasty and try to breeze by without noticing those. Any other amendments to tonight's meeting agenda?
I just wanted to introduce the position paper written by the Ketchikan Marine Industries Council about supporting a study for identifying marine industries as a priority industry and studying the various business sectors.
Okay, would you like to speak to that under council discussion?
New business here.
Or new business council?
Either one.
How about council discussion? Yes.
The KSM mine.
Oh, yeah. We need to seek approval for a letter that was given to us by Brian Lentz from Petersburg Vessel Owners to ask for a panel review of the KSM mine project, which brings it up to another level. So hopefully after the one tailings dam burst, they'll have a little bit more scrutiny on their procedures. So we could add that under the new business as well.
Sorry.
No problem, thank you. I would have overlooked it. And I think that's all. So any other changes to tonight's agenda? Seeing none, all those in favor of the changes say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Okay. Time for public hearings and bid awards. And bid award for 1,000 tons of 3/8 inch minus traction sand. Two bids were received for the product. Public Works Director Hagerman is recommending the low bid of $36 a ton be awarded to Northwood Sand and Gravel. I'd entertain a motion to award that bid.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, it's been moved by Member Lagadakis, seconded by Member Greger to award the bid of $36 a ton to Northwood Sand and Gravel for the 3/8 minus. Any discussion?
Who is Northwood Sand and Gravel?
Carl, can you explain who they are, where they're from?
The owner's name is Steve Nelson, and they operate out of the Thomas Bay area.
Okay. Does that explain, Nancy?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Any more discussion? The clerk, call the roll.
Jay.
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Cindy?
Yes.
John?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Kurt?
Are you with us, Kurt? Huh, sounds like...
Nancy?
Yes.
So what have we been doing? Do we try to call them again?
Well, no, he should be able to call back in.
Okay.
We're in our conference, so.
It sounds like he's on the line. He's just not coming through.
That happens.
Maybe it does.
Mr. Mayor.
Well, without.
Two for yes and
may
two
I
for no.
Say something? Kurt, if you hear us, you might hang up and try dialing back in. Sometimes that fixes those problems.
Well, no, I can hear you just fine right now.
Okay, do you know we're voting on the bid award for the 1,000 tons of 3/8 minus traction sand to...
Right, that's yes for me.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, it's unanimous. That passes. Any visitors' views related to tonight's agenda? Seeing none, we have a small audience this evening. Visitors' views unrelated to the agenda. Phil, would you like to speak?
My name is Phil Beardsley. I've been involved talking with the city on taxing on mining claims down on Wolwoodski Island, and I've talked to the members of the assembly, and apparently the situation has been settled. I just want to thank the assembly for listening and being supportive. I think it's awfully important that we look for any opportunity we have to for creating jobs in this area. We need to diversify this economy in Petersburg. I thank you for your support.
Well, I just have a quick question. Are you feeling pretty good that there may be some positive outcomes from your explorations, or that there may be some hope in creating jobs?
We have a company that's looked at drill core, looked at our geophysics, and we'll get into negotiations. So yes, the outcome looks very positive. It's both for the type of deposit and everything else. I would like to point out while I'm here, and there's going to be other things coming up on the agenda. Location there on Wolwoodski is basically there's no salmon streams, and these are clean. These would be clean deposits. Really would. I have to assume, but I'm not a mining engineer, so I can't be quoted on this, but I have to be assumed that this would be underground. And the neat thing is that transportation-wise, down in the northwest part of the island there, you could tie an oil tanker to the shoreline to the trees, I think. Mm-hmm. It drops off that deep. It's an ideal setup for somebody to... you know, to consider mining, you know, the transportation wise and everything that way. And I think it'd be a very clean deposit. It seems like most of the things that involve keeping mining from going on here in Alaska are like the pebble, the mine there in BC that had that big tailings dam spill, which into the Fraser River, I have to admit, was major, you know. But that wouldn't be the case here, and I think that we should have good public support for creating jobs, and certainly good for the community, and that's where I am. So things are looking positive. I wouldn't say that we're certainly not just getting started, but we've had some awful good drill core that indicates the type of deposit it is. And which is exciting for us. And the company was excited about it too. So it's a matter of time. It's hard to get even a big company to go forward right now because nobody knows what's happening politically, basically, is what it amounts to. And everybody's kind of holding back a little bit. And that's where we are. I just wanted to thank the members of the assembly here for your support. And I know all of you know how important jobs are and what it would mean to this community. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Phil. Okay, any other visitors with views unrelated to this evening's agenda? Okay. Seeing none, we'll move on to board, commission, and committee reports. There's none on today's agenda. No items under consent agenda. No reports of other officers, and which brings us to the mayor's report. And there's a few things under that. Close of the Tyee transfer to SEPA. the assignment and assumption agreement for the transfer of operations and maintenance of the Taiyi Hydro project was finalized on August 16th. Thank you is extended to the Wrangell Borough Assembly and Thomas Bay Power Commission for their work in getting this important matter resolved. I'm glad that happened. That was good. Assembly attendance to annual Alaska Municipal League meeting. This year's meeting will be held at the Captain Cook Hotel in Anchorage, November 17th through the 21st. Assembly members planning to attend the meeting are asked to confirm their attendance with the borough clerk's office by September 10th. The newly elected officials training I found very informative for myself 8 years ago, and I fall back on the documents that I save from that every once in a while to refresh my memory for trying to do proper procedure, so that's worth attending. Thank you for your service to Sid Bacom, member of the Public Safety Advisory Board since October of 1999. He was the chairman since October of 2004. He has informed that he will not seek re-election this year. We thank Sid for his many years of dedicated service. And with that note, there's lots of opportunities to serve the community. As of last Thursday, the borough still had numerous elected positions on the October 7, 2014 municipal ballot without candidates. If you are interested and willing to serve the community, contact the city clerk's office for further information. And we're seeking letters of interest. The borough will accept letters of interest for persons interested in serving on the newly re-established Historic Preservation Commission. Please contact the clerk's office for additional information. And pending public meeting with DOT and DEC representatives, Senator Egan's staffer, Alita Buss, is working with ADOT and DEC personnel to schedule a time when department representatives can travel to Petersburg this fall to conduct a public informational meeting on herbicide use regulations. And there's a change in the regular meeting date. Due to the September 1st Labor Day holiday, the next assembly meeting will be Tuesday, September 2nd at noon. And I believe that's it for the mayor's report. And item B under there actually is appointment of election workers for the October 7th, 2014 borough election. The borough clerk, O'Rear, is recommending the appointment of the following individuals to work the October 7th, 2014 election at the pay rates of $12 per hour and $14 an hour for the chairperson. Mary Leonard, Kathy Harris, Beverly Richardson, Erica Warhatch, Pat Hickman, and Tanya Somerville. So without any objection by the assembly, I would like to appoint the election workers for the October 7th election. Okay, see no objections. Thank you for offering your services to the people that were named there. And that brings us to the manager's report.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The replacement lighting at South Harbor should be completed this week slightly into next week. That includes the installation of the final five new fixtures and the removal of the old fixtures. So thanks to Power and Light. Power and Light's also beginning some planning on a potential capital project on the possible replacement of two of our older Cat diesels. Placement parts are no longer manufactured and both units are reaching the end of their useful life. So it's a project that we'll be presenting to the assembly for prioritization during the capital project request. The borough's been working with SEPA, primarily Joe and his staff, in the Alaska Department of Fish and Game to deal with some bird issues out there near the Scow Bay substation. SEPA owns that substation, but we had a couple of bird strikes within the substation that have caused two major outages, so we're working through that. The annual FERC inspection of our Blind Slough Hydro project was conducted 2 weeks ago by the Portland area engineer. We passed with flying colors. Special thanks to Bob, Ricky, and Sue for their efforts on that inspection. Officer Pop has been attending training that will certify him to inspect and perform minor repairs on our handguns and rifles. And it's just a way to kind of keep our stuff in good shape and also keep the cost down. Officer Thorson received some minor injuries when attempting to arrest a juvenile for vehicle theft. The juvenile was arrested with that injury, and we've asked the juvenile justice authorities for reimbursement of the medical costs. Sandy Beach Shelter, we're waiting for another order of roofing. It's supposed to be on the barge Wednesday, and as soon as it's all accounted for and inventoried, the guys will be back out there, and we should have the facility fully roofed within a week or so. So, again, assuming all of the materials are here. Parks and Rec is working with the LDS Church on a service project at Sandy Beach, scheduled for September 6th. They will be adding sand to the beach, cutting back weeds near the shelters and on the trails, adding river rock around the shelters, and removing some old limbs from trees. At noon, there will be a hot dog barbecue for all of the volunteers, and the whole community is invited. Harbor staff is working on compiling a price list for the needed additions to finish the North Harbor loading zones and the wood rub board for heads of stalls. These items were both eliminated off the original contract prior to bid in order to save money, with the understanding that maintenance staff could install these projects after the project was completed. So GLOW's getting information together on that. Cameco has, if you haven't noticed, has begun pile driving, starting with the approach dock abutment anchor piling for the drive-down facility, so they'll continue on that. And we'll start seeing GLOW on that. And I didn't have it on here. How are they doing on the floats themselves? Are we getting positive information, or still a conversation?
Still a conversation.
Okay. So there's been some delays on the float manufacturer, which is being done down south, and the P&D, thanks to them and GLOW staff, they're working with the manufacturer to try to make sure we can get on schedule. Western Marine has the materials ready for shipment to begin working on the crane dock widening project, set to begin September 15th. Pre-construction meetings are set for this week. Just kind of a thanks to the Public Works and Harbor staff. You know, they went back and installed all the curb stops along Harbor Way, and I know that was an inconvenience to folks, but they got that out there and got that done last week, over a couple weeks, I guess. Congratulations to the winners of the library's 2014 Amazing Rainforest Race, Julian Kumps and Brennan Skeek. The Amazing Rainforest Race was made possible by the Petersburg Community Foundation, Petersburg Parks and Recreation, First Bank, and Nordic Air. The library will be closed September 15th and 16th for maintenance and cleaning. This will be an annual event held every year on the anniversary of the opening of the new facility. It will allow for a variety of cleaning and activities that to keep the facility looking nice. It's harder to do when the facility is open. Mountain View Manor's elderly housing water service is complete, thanks to Carl and lots of his staff. The next steps will be to move the hydrant from the manor entrance to the lower end of the parking lot and to patch Haugen Street pavement where the cut in the water main was done. Rockin' Road is down to the last minor items to finish up the landfill project. Survey was completed on August 11th, and the final grading and other items will be completed within a two-week time period. Again, that was the project where we were using the North Harbor dredge spoils to cover up our metal pile. Bid specs for the snowplow replacement are being advertised. Due to numerous bidder questions on the specs, the bid period has been extended, and bids are now due on August 22nd. And lots of thanks to Carl and this week around. He caught an opportunity that it's an Alaska DOT SUV from the Wrangell Airport. It's a 2004 Chevy Trailblazer with 2,200 miles on it that Carl quickly put a bid on it for $3,200, and we won the bid. So we were able to put this into our fleet and retire a older unit that we were going to have to pay full value for to replace at some point. And it allows us to present to the food service folks that unit as a potential for their Meals on Wheels delivery, which will get a lot better gas mileage than trying to use the big new van. So worked out really, really well, and we got what amounts to is basically a brand new vehicle for $3,200. We still don't know why no one else bid on it. Okay. Carl, any...
Does it have tires?
It's orange, or yellow, excuse me. Wait. But we'll deal with the color for that price.
Yeah.
PIA has been working hard on Dolphin Street sidewalks and is doing a lot of really great work. They've included the 3rd Street sidewalks in their work plan and will replace those sidewalks this year or next year, depending upon progress over the rest of the summer and fall. So that's it, unless there's questions.
Any questions of the manager, John?
Well, I have a couple different questions. Really not for Steve. It's on the one's on the people running for office. On the assembly, and I think it's the hospital board, you have to fill out a financial disclosure form. In October, if the community votes to do away with that, do people still running for office have to fill that out? That's a Kathy question.
I believe they do. We looked into that, didn't we, Kathy? And
if it gets voted, then we can drop it, then they won't have to file.
Okay. But if they're looking at running, do they have to file one
yes.
Now?
But they can also file the exemption, $5,000. If they're spending $5,000 or less, they can file an exemption paperwork with me.
So if someone wants to run for an assembly or hospital board, they wouldn't have to, they could go for that exemption and not have to fill out the form. Okay. And the other question, I know we're looking at electrical rates, and you mentioned that diesel replacements coming up. And I guess this is for Joe. Joe, how much do those diesels run?
I got a budgetary bid from NC Machinery for units that are somewhat bigger in size, but will fit the same footprint of our old units there in that building. And it will be for the replace 2 units and increase our generation by about 20%. It's about $1 million.
Okay. So they're quite expensive. In the transformer, when CFI's transformer went down and you guys loaned them one, those things are a couple $100,000?
No, they're not quite that much. They're in the 40,000 range.
Okay, thank you. But you had those on hand?
We had one on hand that they have in service now, yes.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions?
No.
Okay.
Just a comment, and it's actually skipping over you, Steve, to the mayor's report. For opportunities to serve the community, I wanted to encourage as many people as possible to please file paperwork and be a part of the democratic process and run for office. Please do. That's all.
It's not that bad of a deal. Not that hard if we can do it, right?
Well,
exactly.
The recognition is tremendous.
Yeah. Right. Any other questions by any other assembly members? I've got a couple questions. Maybe this would be for Glow. On the North Harbor repairs of the additions that were taken off of the bid, is that where the money's going to come from for that?
Well, we have contingency funds
okay.
left over from that, and that's
good.
Just our harbor savings account. So.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay, and one follow-up question to Joe that Mr. Haverlick asked him about the cost of the generators, and I've been talking with this a little bit with Steve, and he said just the fuel savings from these new generators would cover the cost of them over a period of time. Is that?
I haven't run those numbers out, but certainly these units are more efficient and they do a better job of non-polluting, but I have not run the savings out. The payoff would be lengthy simply because we don't run them that much. If they were a 24/7 unit, prime power, it would be different. But number of hours per year on these units is not a lot. It's just that when we need them, we need them.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
So I guess the money for that you'd be potentially thinking about using some of your reserves, or is there grants available? Or
we haven't come to a conclusion on that. We'll explore all of that. Grants. I think in my capital project request, I'm going to put forth an 80-20 proposal where we would go after 80% grant funds and fund it 20%.
Thank you. Any other questions of the manager? Okay, seeing none, we'll move on to unfinished business. And the first item there, A, is the Juneau appeal of the Petersburg Borough boundaries. Judge Menendez has denied CBGA's motion for stay pending appeal. Juneau has the right to file a motion in Supreme Court for a stay pending appeal. And I'd like to bear with me a minute so I can find it. I'd like to read the last paragraph in the court's decision. In consideration of the public interest, CBJ argues that a stay is necessary to prevent harm to both Petersburg and Juneau boroughs. CBJ asserts that a stay would prevent Petersburg from unnecessarily acting in reliance on the court's order affirming the local boundary commission, while at the same time a stay would ensure that the disputed land remains unchanged in case CBJ wins the appeal at the next level. The court does not find that the public interest requires a stay to prevent harm to both parties. First, as stated above, the court does not find that CBJ is likely to succeed on its appeal to the Supreme Court, which I found was encouraging. And second, the request for a stay is untimely because the court affirmed the LBC's decision approximately 4 months ago. So anyway, the judge is denied it, so that's good. And hopefully he's correct with what he foresees the Supreme Court doing. And under unfinished business, one of the amendments to our agenda was the letter to the Rainforest, the ferry system, Northern Ferry System. And Mr. Havlick, would you like to make a motion to modify the previous letter?
Yes, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to, with our discussion via earlier this evening and the calls I've had, it seems Banana Point would not only be a disruption for sports fishermen in town and other people that use that area, but also and might damage it, but also would probably cause problems for the proposed ferry service. So I would like to add to our letter of support that we would encourage the Rainforest Ferry Service to pursue, with our support, to pursue Olson's Log Dump or the Northern Ferry Terminal as better options for their success and to serve our community better.
Okay, put that in the form of a motion. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay, that motion's been made by Member Havlick, seconded by Member Lagadakis. Any discussion on the changes to the letter? You were referring to the
South Mid-Con.
State South Mid-Con Ferry Terminal? The state.
Yeah, I'm sorry,
okay,
South,
that's,
yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Just
John,
I'm sure.
Are you still amenable to, I would still like to be look at it at the end of 6 months to see whether or not our support's still valid, or whether it needs to be some other tweaking or changes, and I was hoping that would be part of the letter.
Sure. I'm very open to that.
Okay, any more discussion on the change to the letter to DNR?
I think it's a point of clarification to make sure I'm hearing it right. Just more or less the same exact letter with that more or less suffix to it, encouraging to use the caveat of Olson's and the South Mid-Cough Ferry Terminal.
We are very much in support of pursuing those for that service.
Gotcha. Thanks.
Yes.
Okay. Any more discussion? The clerk, call the roll.
Meyer?
Yes.
Cindy?
Yes.
Nancy?
Yes.
John?
Yes.
Kurt?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
And Bob?
Yes.
Okay, it passes unanimously. And Kathy, you'll send that letter off then? Okay. Let me catch up here. Okay, now we're on to ordinances for the third and final reading. Ordinance 2014-19, an ordinance providing for Chapter 14.6, entitled Electricity, updating current language to reflect borough incorporation and providing for rate restructuring and increase. Entertain a motion to adopt this ordinance in its third reading.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved by Member Strand, seconded by Member Lynn to adopt Ordinance 2014-19 in its third and final reading. Any discussion? I'd like to ask a question. I know I wasn't here for the first two readings of it, and I listened to borough business today, and I know Assembly Members Lagadakis and Lynn both support it. I was kind of wondering, you know, we did the D. Hittles study. And in that study, is one of the reasons to raise the rates, Joe, is that to try to recapture some depreciation? I mean, we have, or we're trying to build reserves, or is this just going to keep us on an even keel because we have, what, $5 million in the electrical fund reserve?
We looked at being able to meet the criteria that Steve has set forth for budgetary purposes. In other words, when we submit our budget, we have to cover a certain amount of depreciation. So we're still not covering all that we should, but according to Steve's formula. As far as building reserves, no, there's no intention here or provision to build reserves.
Okay. I have had a few discussions with the manager about this, and I don't know, Steve, maybe you could explain to the rest of the assembly what you were talking to me about, maybe trying to build, just set a fund balance like we do in the general fund, what we would have.
I can speak to that. One of the things we've done with last couple of budget cycles, really, is to try to set goals for the enterprise funds to cover a portion of their depreciation. And it's a formula that Jody and I came up with that's we have found to be too complicated, to be honest with you. It's hard to explain. It was basically saying, you know, we want you to make a profit of X percentage of your depreciation so that you're building reserves so that when we have expenses, the enterprise funds have the money. We've had a really, really difficult time not only coming up with the right targets, being able to explain it to department heads, even Jody and I, just explaining it to each other, and definitely to the public and into the assembly. So one of the things we're working on is going a different direction. We're not ready to roll it out yet just because we're trying to do a better job of it, but similar to how we do with the general fund, setting a fund balance target rather than a portion of depreciation. The challenge is coming up with that number, and we're going to struggle with it. We ran it by the auditors when they were here to see if they had any ideas or better ways to approach it. They liked that approach. They think it is simpler and easier to explain to people. The secret's going to be coming up with that right number, and what is it? We don't have that number not yet. I don't have it for any of the enterprise funds, but it would be coming up with a fund balance type policy that the assembly could then approve, and then we could give out to department heads and say, your goal is to have this, and you know, if you're not there now, come up with a plan to get there within some period of time that the assembly blesses. And whether that was cutting expenses or raising revenue, you know, that's part of the plan process. But we're not there now. Joe's referring to our profit targets, and that's correct. I think we had one enterprise fund that hit those numbers in this current existing budget cycle and was not Power and Light. So that's the challenge. I think we need to do something different than the depreciation targets like that. I think we're going to have to come up with, I think the fund balance is a good way to approach it. We just don't have the numbers right now.
So one more question for Steve, and not being in the discussion on the first two readings. Do you think this is time to raise the rates?
Power and Light has not raised their rates in a long time. They are, even after this rate increase, On the large commercial, we Joe just finished this up, this look at using PFI's example. Our rates will be lower than what they are in Sitka and Wrangell. That being said, I have a really hard time answering the question, because if we change, if we go to Joe and the group sitting in the back of the room and say, you got new targets, pretty hard for them to give you a straight answer, and that's exactly what I just said, is I'm talking about totally different new targets. So, you know, using Joe as the example, because he's the one on the hot seat at the moment, what's the right fund balance? Is it $5 million, or is it 10, or is it 2?
Right.
And I don't have a great answer on that. Power and Light has some expenses that could be devastating. I mean, the blind slew hydro, cat diesels. I mean, something like that can be really, really expensive. but you know, we don't, we haven't come up with what those real good targets are. You know, it, so it's a question of you know, do I think we probably deserve a rate increase there? Yeah, we probably do. But what's the right number? I can't tell you right now.
Okay. The reason I'm asking is because I've been approached by a few people. They've asked, you know, why the rate increase? You know, we're talking about, you know, raising sales tax caps. I mean, that's going to be up to the public and this and that. So I just thought I'd ask the question.
No, I know I didn't answer your question thoroughly, Mayor. I'm sorry.
That's,
I mean, it's
fine.
Just, it's,
any more discussion?
Can I make
Bob?
A comment on that? I still have a question on my own mind, and maybe I'm the only dumb one around, but has, from Joe's perspective, have all the decisions been made about, are we going to, or is the generator going to stay here? Does it move out? Is there two generators replace one? What, in the longer term, looking 20 years down the road, where do we want to be? Is there a plan to do that? And then my question would be, is then how does the rate reserve play into what we want to do in the longer run? And I don't know if that question's been answered, but maybe it has and I just don't know.
Joe can answer part of that.
Yes, the decision has been made that we are not going to move out the road. So I need to maintain, not only maintain what we have, but I need to meet future load growth. And the fact that these two CAT units that we're talking about are the smallest ones that we have. One of them is an 800 kW. The other one is a 600 kW. They're increasingly problematic, and replacement parts are just really, really difficult to come by. So we looked at it with the idea that maybe we can get more generation in the same footprint, in the same building, because we've got a 5-gallon bucket over here across the street, and we're trying to put 6 gallons in it, and we're going to try to add a little more. And it does make sense that this is quite kind of quick and dirty, so to speak. Again, it's the same footprint. We would have to put in slightly bigger radiators on the outside of the building, probably have to replace the muffler, but a lot of the same wiring, et cetera, could be used. And so it sounds like a lot of money, roughly $1 million for two units, but bear in mind that the new unit we put out at Scow Bay, which is significantly larger, that was roughly a $2 million project for the one generator. What was the other part of the question?
Well, do we have a long-term plan of what, not only, Joe, what our needs are? I'm talking 20 years down the road, but what the needs are going to be and then how we're going to serve them, and then the equipment, i.e. the types of things we need or what kind of changes do we need to make to be there. And that, to me, would play back into what that fund balance should be in the longer run. That's...
No.
It's a statement.
Yes, we have, as part of our study, the DeHill study, we look down the road at least 5 years at what capital projects we have coming down the road. And from that, we determine not only what our annual capital expenditure should be in a normal year, but also what our fund balance should be. And the DeHill report comes up with a fund balance, a minimum fund balance of $3.5 million. So that's in the report.
Does that answer your question?
Yes.
Bob? Any more questions, Mr. Haverlick?
Mr. Mayor, I just wanted to say I really appreciate what Steve's doing with this depreciation, because I'd much rather, you know, even with the electrical increases, which aren't popular, you know, nothing like that's ever popular, taxes, but I would much rather put money aside in depreciation and, you know, go with minor increases rather than all of a sudden come to the community and say, we're going to raise your property taxes so many mills, or we need to go to so many $1 million bond because we need a diesel generator, or we need a police station, or we need this or that. I would much rather have our own accountability and saving, so we're not having to go to the public with extreme measures or you know, with emergency situations. And, you know, and I know those happen, but this is a much more stable, sane way to run a business rather than going through you know, drastic means, which I think we do, which too many places go through, and we're not going to be able to rely on the state, you know, with you know, being able to back us up, and you know, especially with less oil monies coming in, we have to take care of ourselves, and I think this is a very intelligent way of doing this.
Thank you.
Just to add to that, I got to sit in with the auditor, with the borough manager, and the auditor was very complimentary, both of Steve and of Jody. Put a lot of confidence in the way that they're take their approach to the budget, and the fact that we are taking these measures to have some funds in reserve. They reiterated that many communities are not doing that and are really in a much more precarious position than Petersburg is. And that was very gratifying to hear.
If I may. And I don't want to mislead anyone. I mean, that my challenge with the power and light rate study is that I don't know what the right numbers are. Okay, it's not that I don't. I think it's deserved. I just don't. We may find after we do this analysis, you know, Joe mentioned $3.5 million. We may find that, boy, that's going to be the perfect number, in which case, well, we probably shouldn't have done the rate increase. Or we're going to find that maybe it should have been 7. That's my problem right now in answering that question. I also don't want to mislead people. I fully expect that we'll come up with these targets and that most of the folks sitting in that back, you know, the department heads are going to have to come up with fairly long-term plans to get there. It's not going to be something, boy, we're going to raise rates so we have this money next year. In fact, it's the exact opposite. It's a plan to say, okay, we're going to have to eat away at this to get to where we want to be. And so it's not going to be, you know, I'm not going to be able to make, you know, Assemblymember Haverlick happy. I'm not going to be able to do it in 1 year. Yep. But I think if we eat away at some of this with some targets in mind, we'll have a better chance of it, I guess.
Okay, I think that explains a lot. All right, any other discussion? Okay, will the clerk call the roll?
John?
Yes.
Kurt?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Nancy?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
And Cindy?
Yes.
Okay, resolution 2014-19 passes unanimously in its third and final reading. And that brings us on to new business. The first item under that is resolution 2014-11, a resolution to refinance general obligation school bonds. That's the short title. The municipal bond market is favorable for this refinancing. The passage of the resolution would allow the refinancing of 2005 general obligation bonds at a more favorable interest rate. Refinancing the bonds has the potential to save approximately $323,000 in interest payments. This refinance represents an obligation to service Area 1, the prior city limits only, the residents within that boundary. I would entertain a motion to adopt Resolution 2014-11.
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved by Member Haverlick, seconded by Member Strand to adopt Resolution 2014-11. Any discussion? Seeing none, will the clerk call the roll?
John?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Kurt?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Nancy?
Yes.
Cindy?
Yes.
And Mark?
Okay, resolution 2014-11 passes unanimously. Next item is approval of ballot language for 7 propositions on the October 7th, 2014 general borough election. All these have gone through ordinances, 3 readings. They're from the exemption of from the Alaska Public Official Finance Disclosure Law through the new senior citizens tax exemptions and so on. And that will be on the ballot for the public to vote on this fall. So entertain a motion for approval of the ballot language for these 7 propositions.
So moved. Second.
It's been moved by Member Strand, seconded by Member Lagadakis to approve the ballot language for the October 7th, 2014 election. Any discussion? Everybody likes the way they're worded? Mm-hmm. Okay, will the clerk call the roll?
Bob?
Yes.
John?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Kurt?
Yes.
Nancy?
Yes.
Cindy?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes. Okay, the next item C under new business, is authorization for the mayor to issue a letter to the Alaska Energy Authority reaffirming the borough's support for SEPA's Renewable Energy Fund Grant, Round 8, application for the Swan Lake Reservoir Expansion Project. Approval of the letter will reaffirm the borough's support for the grant project at first expressed in Resolution 2013-8 on March 4th of 2014, or 13, I mean. This is just issuing support for raising the dam 12 feet. We'll give it more holding capacity. It's Trey Atkinson calls it the low-hanging fruit, so it's the most affordable way to expand our capacity. So I'd entertain a motion for authorization to send this letter.
Second.
Okay, it's been motion been made by Member Haverlick, seconded by Member Lynn for authorization of this letter. Any discussion? Seeing none, clerk call the roll.
Jay?
Yes.
Kurt?
Yes.
Cindy?
Yes.
John?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
And Nancy?
Yes.
Okay, it passes unanimously. And is that letter drafted up, Kathy, or you'll draft it up?
Okay.
All right, I'll stop by tomorrow. Item D under new business, authorization to enter into a reimbursable services agreement, RSA, with the State of Alaska Department of Transportation and Public Facilities for improvements to the Hagen Drive wastewater collection system. This agreement will facilitate needed repairs to underground wastewater infrastructure in conjunction with the upcoming DOT project to improve Hagen Drive. The cost to provide the improvements, principally manhole reconstruction and replacement, is estimated at $153,338. The exact cost for the improvements will not be known until the project is bid. Funding for the improvements is not budgeted, but is available either by use of the reserve funds or via a grant from DEC. So I would entertain a motion to enter into this RSA with the state.
So moved.
Second. Motion's been made by Member Haverlick, seconded by Member Logadakis, to authorize the manager to, or the borough, to enter into this reimbursable services agreement. Any discussion? Clerk, call the roll.
Jay.
Yes.
Bob.
Yes.
Cindy.
Yes.
John.
Yes.
Mark.
Yes.
Kurt.
Are you there, Kurt?
Yep, okay, I can hear you now. Yeah, sometimes you cut out, but yes.
Nancy.
Yes.
Okay, it passes unanimously, so we'll move forward with that. Item E, consideration of change order number 1 for the Petersburg drive-down facility. The change order is for $37,018.80 to add a new year-round water service meter with a vault to the project. Entertain a motion to approve change order number 1.
So moved.
Second.
Been moved by Member Greger, seconded by Member Haverlick to approve change order 1 in the amount of $37,018.80 to the new drive-down facility. And is this glow just take it to the bulkhead where the pier starts?
Yes.
And then there's a vault?
Yes.
Okay. That's what I thought I saw on the schematic. Any other discussion, Bob?
Just a question. How many more change orders are you anticipating, Cole, on this?
I hope no more.
Okay.
For this portion, for phase 1.
For phase 1. Okay.
Okay, any other discussion on this addition, this change order for the water service meter? Seeing none, will the clerk call the roll?
Bob.
Yes.
Cindy.
Yes.
Jay.
Yes.
Nancy?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
John?
Yes.
And Kurt?
Yes.
Okay, the change order passes unanimously. We'll have water, at least to the start of the bridge. Item 14F was added to the new business, and that is a letter to Mental Health asking them to postpone the sale of 3 of the lots they were going to sell at Papke's, and they're the ones that are along the parking lot out there, and Bob has maps if you need to look at them. One of the residents there brought this to the city manager. He talked to me, and I steered him towards Steve, and that's where this came from, and he seems to think that they will hold off on selling these three lots if we ask. So, and those Mr. Terry Miller asked us to do this. So, Bob, you want to make a motion?
I do. May I add some more detail to it, just for information? There's three. That parcel land goes from the parking lot up to Muckuck Lane, and from the highway over to that subdivision. The three lots on the bottoms are the ones that really were important, I think, for Borough, for long term, for parking lot, and for being able to turn around for whatever happens there. And I've had a number of folks, in addition to Mr. Miller, talk to me about this. Those three lots constitute about 1.5 acres. And the three lots together, Mental Health Trust is putting it up for sale, starting, I believe, here very shortly, if it's not all online. And you can see it online. It's like September 1, what have you. For those three lots, their appraised value is $110,000. And I would ask, and what's been asked is, by a number of the residents out there, is if the borough would be willing to send a letter to Mental Health Trust asking to hold off on the sale of those three lots, that lower portion, and that would the borough also be willing, this is what the residents have been asking me, be willing to say that in that letter to Mental Health Trust that we would be willing to work with them to on the land selection process to be able to trade some lands to get these particular lots. And there's also one other one that I would across the road just above the parking lot that Mental Health Trust owns that's not part of it. And when you look at those in the long term, they probably should be for the public interest. They should be parking, they should be something. Rather than having us to go, the borough, for instance, sometime later, go back and spend a lot more money on trying to acquire those particular parcels. That area is going to be, you know, the center for public use for a long time, in my opinion. So anyway, I'm going to pass out the maps to the assembly here so that they can see it. You can also find this online. Just go to Mental Health Trust and look at their land sales. This map that I'm showing everybody here is also online and available for anybody else to look at. And my motion would be to send a letter to Mental Health Trust asking to hold off on the sale of lots 5, 6, and 7 at this time. And I would also ask that we would put into the letter that we would be willing to work with them during in our land selection process and as part of borough formation. To be able to acquire this as part of the borough in exchange for doing some kind of exchange with something other that they're interested in.
Is there a second to that motion?
I'll second.
Okay. Motion's been made by Member Lynn, seconded by Member Lagadakis to send a letter to Mental Health to hold off on the sale of lots 5, 6, and 7 at Papke's Landing and to convey in that letter that we will work with them on the possibility of a land swap, and I think that would, in my mind, would have to be brought before the Land Selections Committee, maybe, or work with them on that, Bob.
Yes.
But yeah. Any other discussion?
A question, if I may. I'm familiar with this area and that property been discussed as a land swap in the past. It's been a discussion topic for a while. And I think it's a great idea. I think it should be land reserved for people using Papke. So it's a no-brainer, I think. But I guess my question for you, Steve, is what makes you think that they'll go for it? I mean, I think the letter is a great idea, but what makes you think they'll go for it?
Well, in my dealings with the trust, they're not the easiest group to work with.
Agreed.
The lady we've been working with has been wonderful. Katie.
Yep.
I don't know that it'll be successful, but I think it's worth a chance, which is what I explained to Mr. Miller, that, you know, couldn't make any promises on that this would be successful, but that it's not a bad idea to try if the assembly is up for it. The land swap piece, I think, is even less likely just because Mental Health doesn't like. You can't select through the borough selection process. We can't select their land. It's immune from.
Yeah.
So I think that would be a lot harder. I think getting Mental Health to say, the trust to say, we'll not sell those three lots under the assumption that the borough may come back later and buy those three lots, I think is probably a more, that's more likely.
So in short, you're not really sure they're going to go for it? Not to put you on the spot.
No, that's okay. Yeah, no, I'll be real honest. I don't know.
Again, I think it's a good idea and we should write
the Donnie, how long did it take us to get the Raven's Roost Trail, which was just negotiating an easement?
I've been in my position 4 years. They came to me for that information the first year, and they just barely got that, you know, passed. Even they even had problems right there at the tail end, you know, just before the actual trail was built. So,
I not that one experience should paint them into a corner, but.
No, but it leaves me cautiously pessimistic.
It's a worry. Yeah.
John, did you have a question?
Yeah, I'm not even cautiously pessimistic after dealing with mental health for years. I think Steve's exactly right. They're going to come back with, you're welcome to bid on these lots. Has ADOT come through at all with any option for PAPKIs?
They're waiting. Best of my recollection, our last discussion with Michael Lushkin in Juneau was last winter sometime with Steve Giesbrick and our lobbyist Ray and I, and didn't see any reason to proceed until we knew our borough boundaries, which one of the harbors in our borough boundaries currently is Inference Island up in the Hobart Bay, and it's going to be an all or nothing deal is what he conveyed to us, and with some dollar figure, which they don't have the money for right now anyway to give us to take ownership. So that's basically, you know, we don't really know. Well, we'll get PAPKIs if, you know, if the deal's acceptable. So I don't know. This would be valuable land to acquire.
Do we have the money to acquire this land if it came to that? And will it be a service area one expense, or do we care? We'll deal with that later.
Right now, it's a good question, but we're just, you know, basically discussing if we want to send this letter. And yeah, I think mental health has approached us before, but you could tell them what the deal was.
Sure, I can speak to that. You know, we started the process, I can't remember if it was city council then or already the borough, but the application, you file an application with mental health, which was, I think, $500. So we applied to show an interest in buying that property. There's a paperwork process that went through. They came back and said, okay, you're approved. Now the borough assembly needs to pay to have it appraised. And as I understood it, what that meant was once the appraisal came in, the borough would have to agree to pay 10% above appraised value, and we would have, the borough would have a very limited time to close the deal or the whole thing would expire. I believe the time was like 30 days. So basically you do the appraisal comes back, and you folks would have had to agree to buy the property within a period of time, or we'd have to start all over again. That didn't go well because we were still waiting for the DOT process and really couldn't bring it to the assembly until such time that we had some of that, a little more clarity around it. In the meantime, the application expires. Mental health likes expiration dates, evidently. So basically, Katie said they were done and they were going to put the lots up for sale. So that's kind of how it got to this point. You know, the borough could probably start the process again, but unless I'm really not remembering this well or misunderstood her, there'd come a point in time where the borough would have to pay or it would all expire again. And that included the appraisal, because the appraisal had to be very current or mental health wouldn't acknowledge it. So
that gets us up to speed on
so it starts with this ADOT issue in the sense of giving us something to work with. GLOW's been trying for a very long time to get something in writing. Mark and I echoed that. And, you know, I think we might have some success going to the legislature if we had something in writing, but they can't really do much if we don't have something from ADOT saying this is what we're offering you, and we don't have that.
John, you have another question?
Just Mr. Mayor, I think, you know, sending a letter that we're talking about would just signal the start of what Steve just mentioned, that mental health is going to return with, okay, you have 30 days to buy this property. And I don't want to get into that because we don't know what else is there. And you know, I'm not opposed that this property is important to the area and for our use of it, but one, I'm not ready to make that kind of purchase, an assembly person for the city or for the borough, not knowing if we have the, because there's still a couple other parties we'd have to deal with at Papke's, the state and
DNR.
DNR. I think we'd be starting something we aren't ready to get into.
I think a letter is a good next step. Sandy, you had
I was just going to say, we lose the opportunity either way. I mean, if we don't respond, then the chances are that somebody's going to buy those properties. This at least could set the clock back a little bit, potentially, and give us a little bit more time to come up with a response.
Well, then hopefully we could, you know, if we agree to send the letter, then we could get it out as soon as possible, and hopefully they're a little bit more punctual on the response than they are. Since they set deadlines, maybe we could...
Well, if it takes them 4 years to...
Reply within 5 days.
...decide, then that'll give that area some time to form a service area as well.
Could be, yeah. So anyway, is there any more discussion on the letter to mental health? All those in favor of sending this letter, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Okay, that sounds unanimous. You think it's a good idea, Kurt?
Yep.
Oh, okay, I didn't hear your aye there. Okay, that moves us on to another added agenda item, 14G, which is approval to send a letter. I'm not sure exactly where it's going to. For the KSM mine project, to ask that they do a panel review, which is another level of looking into it more than they have. So, anyways, do we have a motion to send a letter?
Mr. Mayor, I move that we send that letter.
Second?
Second.
Okay, it's been moved by Member Haverlick, seconded by Member Greger. Any discussion? We all have a copy of the letter here in front of us. So it was given to us by, brought to our attention by Brian Lynch from Vessel. It seems like a good idea. So, all those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, Kathy?
Aye.
There you go. Okay, and we may as well move Cindy's discussion up from council discussion where we decided we'd put it to new business since it's next anyway. So
I just wanted to recap on this last vote for the public that the letter is going to the Canadian Environmental Assessment Agency asking them to do a panel review, which is a more complete review of the environmental situation and the mitigations that are being proposed. I want to bring up an item that I don't want to see action on at this meeting. I will send out the position statement to everybody on the assembly so they have a chance to look it over and we can potentially act on it at our next meeting. I received this from PFI. It is a position paper that was put together by the Ketchikan Marine Industry Council asking the state to designate the maritime industry sector as a priority industry in Alaska and to do a study of all of the subsectors, capacity, demand, and strategies for growth in the fishing industry. And part of the outcome of that potentially could be some training opportunities and retraining opportunities for folks involved in the fishing industry, but also to have a better characterization of how big the maritime industry is in Alaska, and it affects tens of thousands of jobs. So I will send this letter out and work to craft something that we could potentially send to Southeast Conference, and this also is going to Alaska Chamber just as a asking for their support and asking the state to do this assessment.
So we could put that on the next agenda?
Yes. I just wanted to bring it up as an information item.
I think I got that and I looked through it and it looked like it would be a good thing to pursue. So is that it, Cindy?
That's it.
All right. So any communications by anybody? I have none. Assembly discussion items? Any recognitions?
The Clausen Museum would like to recognize and thank the fire department for use of their classroom to further our World War II identification project, and to especially thank Sandy Dixon and Ryan Weldy for their interest and support. It's been very helpful to use that room.
Good. It's a nice facility.
Yes, it is, and it's a lovely screen.
Okay, any more recognitions? Mr. Havlick.
This really is a recognition, just encouraging people to vote tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, if there's no other recognitions, I'd entertain a motion to adjourn.
So move.
Second. So move.
Okay, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye.